Amen. It is so good to be in God's house. Amen. Amen. What a spirit in this place. Amen. It truly is good. We are so glad that you are here. Amen. Amen. It's good to be back on a Sunday. By the way, Wednesday night, if you were not here, listen to that podcast. Amen. It's and podcasts make me nervous. They do, because I think some people miss, and they're like, I'll just listen to it. It's better live. It's always better live. But don't miss that word from Wednesday night. Amen. Man, I was glad to be here. Brother Thomas, we appreciate that. And then Friday, I went out and did the work of an evangelist, and I stripped a gear in my voice. I'm not sick, but, man, Mike, I went back to my roots of preaching the gospel, and I stripped a couple gears. So don't judge the anointing today by my voice. Listen really close to what I say. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Let's read that next part. And well, y'all did great. Y'all did great. Wow. And Satan came. I'll do it. Never mind. Forget y'all. And Satan came also among them. Think about that. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Listen to this accusation. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You can go ahead and be seated. The word Satan here is capitalized. I don't like to spend a lot of time talking about the devil, but it is an ill-informed soldier that does not know his enemy. The Bible tells us that we are not ignorant of his devices. So it is a very ill-informed Christian that doesn't know the wiles of the devil. So we have an enemy, and he has an arsenal. And when we read this, there's many times that the word Satan is used in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word Satan, but it's not capitalized. We'll see that in Numbers chapter 22. I want to read this to you. Numbers 22, 21 through 23. Balaam rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger, listen to this, was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. The word there, adversary, is Satan, which is the Hebrew pronunciation of Satan. It's Satan. So the angel was Satan. The angel was an adversary. The word Satan or Satan, where we get the word. It's not capitalized here, though. It's an adversary. It's something that withstands. And so the angel became something that withstood, and the word is Satan. I want to give you this adversary. Shani, you got my definition. Satan, I want you to see this. Adversary, one who withstands, in general, personal or natural, superhuman adversary. Satan, but watch this. As a noun, you got to be careful because there's places in Scripture where it's capitalized for a reason. And this is the reason it is capitalized. Because the enemy, our adversary, the devil, has withstood us. And throughout Scripture, his job was to withstand and to accuse. He did it so much that the word Satan became, they added an article, and he wasn't just an adversary, he became the adversary. He became the accuser. He done it so much that what he did became the name that they called him by. We have an adversary. We have an accuser. Our accuser has a job, and his job is very specific. So I want you to notice when the sons of God came to present themselves to God, the devil is out doing his deal. Satan's out going to and fro. And I picture it like this. He's like, he's just doing his work up and down in the earth. And then it came time for the sons of God to present themselves to God. And the Bible says, and Satan came also. Can you see this in the courtroom of heaven? When they begin to present themselves to God, here comes Satan. And when Satan comes to the meeting, he comes with one purpose in mind, and that is to accuse and to resist the people of God. God brings it up. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He says, "Oh yeah, I've checked him out. Satan had already done his homework." He said, "Does he serve you for naught?" He makes this accusation and he says, "If you take away that hedge, he is going to curse you." This accusation is higher and is pointed at something greater than just Job. The accusation is this: Job is serving you because you protect him. And God, I just want to let you know, the only reason Job loves you is because what you do for him. That's the accusation. So God allows Satan to move in and do some things to prove the accusation wrong. In the courtroom of heaven, an accusation was given, and that accusation was proved wrong because Job held on to his integrity. Everything the devil threw at him, everything the devil tried. So the devil goes back and he begins to accuse again. And he says, skin for skin. He said, "I figured out there's something going on with Job. He didn't break under the pressure so far, but skin for skin. We'll go skin for skin." God says, "You can do whatever you want, but you cannot take his life." The accusation came again. Let me tell you something about the accuser. He's going to try to accuse until he finds something that sticks. He's going to try to withstand you until he finds something that works. We have an enemy, and that enemy is relentless. But this story has always fascinated me, that he made his way into heaven to be my adversary. Out of all the places, I don't want the devil in heaven talking about my dirt. Come on, can I get a witness? Out of all the places, I don't want him there accusing me of anything. I want you to watch this. This word is used again in David's life. 1 Samuel 20 and 4, "The princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princes of the Philistines said unto him, 'Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be a Satan to us.'" That's the word. "Unless he be an adversary to us." Somebody that gets in our way. Somebody that withstands us. Speaking of David. So this adversary that we have, this accuser that we have, withstands and tries to get in our way through accusation. Why is this important? Because if we don't understand that when the enemy talks, everything he said isn't fact, then sometimes we side with the enemy, which is his goal in the end. The devil knows that he cannot overcome you. The devil knows that he cannot break your relationship. The devil knows that he can't stop you. So what the devil does is accuses you, so you believe the accusation and then you act accordingly. I'm here to tell you, the devil is a liar. Not only is he a liar, he is the father of every lie. Every accusation is a lie. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I used to love. Anybody here love watching Matlock? Matlock, does anybody watch Matlock? Did anybody watch Perry Mason? Any older people in here watch Perry Mason? Who? Who? Forced to. At first I thought he said Toy Story. I don't know where that came from. Dave, Toy Story don't have nothing to do with it. I wasn't forced to, man. I loved it. I loved watching courtrooms. I loved watching old Perry Mason because Perry never lost. That's the kind of lawyer I want. I want a lawyer that ain't going to lose. And just when you think they had him, he'd find some truth. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? And, man, those prosecutors had all kinds of fits with Perry. Couldn't win. You know what? When we realize that the enemy comes in as a prosecutor and he's trying to find dirt and he's trying to bring an accusation and he's trying to find some way to get you to fall, that is his job, so much so that he wasn't a Satan. He became the Satan, and that name stuck because it's what he did. All right, I got to hurry. Zechariah 3. Verse 1, man, I'm about to shout because I know where this is going. This gets so good if you hold on for just a minute. Watch this. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And who? Standing at his right hand. Don't go to the next verse, Jacob. Hold up. It's going to give away my sermon. To resist him. Come here, Joshua. You the high priest, stand right here. Come here, Satan. He's Satan. So here's how this works. The Bible says Joshua the high priest is standing before the angel. And guess, I just picture this like Satan's out doing his thing. And he's like, oh, Joshua, yeah, I'm going to head over here. I just picture him saying, something's going on over there, so I'm going to go there and get, listen where he's positioned. Where's he at? At his right hand to resist him. The resist is to withstand him or to accuse him. So the enemy comes to accuse him. Now here's the problem with all these lawyer movies I watched. The prosecutor, the burden of proof is on the prosecutor. They got to prove that the defendant is guilty without a reasonable doubt. And that's the goal of the enemy, to prove you guilty. He wants to prove you guilty. Skip to verse 3. Now Joshua... Did y'all read it? Was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Oh, you got this case, bro. You don't even need to bring any evidence. He's wearing the evidence. The priest is filthy in the courtroom. He don't need to say anything. All he needs to do is point. It's there. The evidence is there. The dirt is there. The filth is there. He's covered in it. The enemy doesn't have to do anything but point. This is a closed case. This case is over. Joshua, you're guilty. You're filthy. I can't believe you came into the courtroom wearing the evidence on yourself. Here's the problem with Christianity. Here's the problem with some of us people, some of us in this room. We think God's the prosecutor. Now, let me say it over here. Let me tell you what's really cool about sitting in the back of the church when you're the pastor. You get to see which side worships better. And then, so if you really want to make a good point, you go over to the side that worships better. And if you want to convict people, you go over to the side that don't. Now, listen, y'all don't know which side is which. I'll reverse that if I need to. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Case closed. This is the easiest. Bo, this was the easiest thing for the enemy to prosecute. Glory. This was the easiest thing. All he has to do is point at the evidence. And let's be honest. We've gave the enemy some evidence. We've stood in places with things attached to us that should not be attached to us. The truth is, when we stand before the judge, we have stood there guilty time and time and time again. But I skipped verse 2 for a reason. Back up to verse 2, because something happens in the courtroom. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand out of the fire? The evidence was there. The filth was there. But the judge stepped up and said, Satan, oh, you got to hear me. God said, I see it. I see the evidence. But he didn't rebuke Joshua. He rebuked the accuser. Oh, this is good. Skip on down to verse 4. Watch this. It gets gooder. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, excuse me, take away the filthy garments from him. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Yeah. You got to hear me. The devil had a closed case, but the judge said, I know he's filthy. I know he did it, but I got a change of raiment in the courtroom. Oh, change him. Change him. This accuser cannot win against our God. The accuser cannot win against our God. Even when we're guilty, he can't win. When we're innocent, he can't win. There is no winning in him. Thank you, thank you. He said, oh yeah, I see it. I see that. He said, by the way, prosecutor, I rebuke you. Man, I'm just pointing at the evidence. I see the evidence. Man, this ought to make you shout for the rest of the week. The fact that God is holy, that God is so pure, that God is so righteous. And I've heard this said before, Brother Eddie, that God will not be around sin. God won't get around sin. You got to clean yourself up. God won't get around sin. Let me tell you something about the God that I serve. He'll come right to a dirty priest with a change of garment and say, I'm not here to... I'm not the prosecutor, I'm the judge. But yet I brought you a change of garment because I want you in my presence. Oh, what a savior. You think that's good? It gets better. Gets better. How does it get better? Watch this. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 12. You've read this. They came to Jesus. When they came to Jesus, let me just back up a minute. You know when Jesus called Peter Satan? He wasn't calling him the devil. He was reaching back to that word because Peter was resisting what Jesus was trying to do. So when you resist the things of God, you are siding with Satan. Can I go a little farther? Can I be pastoral? When you quench the Spirit, you are siding with Satan. It is resistance that you are giving. God is not looking for resistance. He's looking for submission and surrender. But the enemy wants you to resist. Listen, I got saved after fighting through resistance. Can I get a witness? God was calling me to an altar. You know what I did? I resisted. I held on to the back of the pew. I don't want to go. I made excuses. I did that for quite a while. And then one day I surrendered. When I surrendered, my whole life changed. The enemy is about resisting the things of God. Watch this. They come to Jesus one time. And they said, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us. And Dave, you know what? Jesus didn't say, yeah, I know. I set it up that way. I love the way Jesus talks. Read him and he'll surprise you. They said, even the demons are subject to him. He said, yeah, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Why are you going into a theology lesson when we're talking about casting out these demons? He goes to something that he had seen, something that he had witnessed. Y'all ready for this? Man, I'm about to shout because I know where I'm going with this. Man, this gets so good because I read in the Old Testament where Satan stood before the throne. I read in the book of Job, he stood before the throne. I read in Zechariah where he stood before the throne. But something changed. Because when I get to the New Testament, I don't read him up there accusing anybody anymore. Anybody? If you do, show me, because I can't find it. And I think I know why. Revelation 12, 7 through 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. I love the way John does this. Just in case you're wondering who he fought with. He says, against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Watch this. And the great dragon was cast out, comma, that old serpent, comma, called the devil, comma, and Satan. If you're wondering who it was that got kicked out of heaven, that should sum it all up for you. Which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Anybody have a sibling that was a tattletale? Raise your hand if you had a sibling that was a tattletale. I mean, constantly. Let me tell you what they did. Like, I seen you, Chandler. Raise your hand. I won't ask you which one it was. You got a brother and a sister. Was it your brother? I will ask. Both. He had both. Both. Mom, guess what Chandler did? Mom, guess what Chandler did? Did you ever get aggravated at your tattletale sibling that you said, you know what, I'll tell on myself? You thought that would help. That's stupid. And just constantly. This is what Satan did day and night. He accused the brethren. the Bible says, day and night. But the Bible says that salvation has come and he has now been removed. Watch this next verse. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Next verse, verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Can you imagine? I don't know if I can do this or not, but I just pictured the Wizard of Oz that running around going, ding dong, Satan's gone, Satan's gone, Satan's gone. They're saying, man, let's get with it. Come on, heaven, rejoice. But listen to this. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. What does this mean? This means that the devil is no longer standing before the throne giving accusations. But guess where he is? He's down here on earth. And guess who he brings the accusations to? Not to God anymore. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. He brings the accusations to you. And he knows he's got a short time. Right? Having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Tell you something about the devil. He's busy. And let me tell you what he's got. He's got a lot of accusations. I've heard quite a few myself. Anybody with me? He's accused me of all kinds of stuff. Amen? He's brought all these accusations. But the Bible says there is a way that, oh, glory. There is a way that I can overcome him here on earth. I know he's here. I know he's bringing accusations. But he said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Come back up here. Come back up here. So here we have it. At the end of every courtroom, there has to be a verdict. Sometimes they look at the accused and they say, How do you plead? How do you plead? Well, you can't plead innocent because you know you're not innocent. And you can't plead guilty. Because if you plead guilty, there's consequences to your guilt. I'll tell you how you can plead. You can plead the blood. How do you plead? I plead the blood. Are you guilty? I plead the blood. Are you innocent? I plead the blood. I don't care which way you've been. I don't care what he is trying to tell you to plead. You look at him and say, I know you're trying to accuse me. I know I've done wrong. I know there's consequences. But despite all that, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. How does that work? Because an innocent man died a guilty death so that you could walk free. No, you didn't get that. An innocent man died a guilty death so that you can go free. It's not about innocent and guilty. It's about blood applied or not applied. That's what it's about. Go sit back down. I'm not done. I got lots of stuff. I put this down in my notes. The enemy has been disbarred. Yeah. The enemy has lost his legal license, but he's not disarmed because he still chats. He still chats. He still talks. He still accuses. Romans 8:33. Man, I got so many verses. I didn't know I had all these verses down here. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Paul's taking us to the courtroom. Paul's putting us in the courtroom. And he's saying, who? Who is going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Here's the thing. Rhonda, the devil had to throw in the towel anyway. Because how are you going to accuse people of things when he went to the holy place with his own blood and he obtained eternal redemption for you and me? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. How could the devil ever make a claim stick when the blood is continually washing it away? Every time he pinned your sin to the board, the blood washed it away. That's what they say, Doug. We're going to have to make this stick. You can't make this stick, man. Nothing sticks on me because the blood washes it away. It is a continual washing away. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No accusation. Accusation is going to stick because the blood has cleansed me. Go back to the courtroom of Zechariah. Back to the courtroom. The accuser stood on the right side of the accused. Go to Paul's courtroom. There's something on at the right hand of God. You see this? The accuser on the right side of the accused. But in God's courtroom, there is something already occupying the right hand of God. And he is not there to accuse you. He is there, oh, listen to me. He is there to intercede for you. So the right side is already taken. Let me put it like this. There is no devil in hell can overcome the Jesus that is pleading my case. I am as saved as I'll ever be. I'm as clean as I'll ever be. I'm as washed as I'll ever be. I've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, and he can't change it. Come sit down. I might need you in a minute. I don't know. See, I got one more. Now I'll let it go. You've been cleansed. You ready for this? The enemy's going to come and tell you you ain't good enough. The enemy's going to tell you you ain't smart enough. The enemy's going to tell you, well, you said you was going to pray every morning at 6 o'clock. And you did that first day. Way to go, Mr. Zeal. You ain't prayed for the last 3 months. Some of y'all said, look at me, 3 months? Man, that's crazy. It'll go a lot longer if you let it. Next thing you know, you look up and you ain't read your Bible in a month. I used to get nervous, Mike, about reading a lot of scripture in church, but I figured out it's the only scripture some people get all week long. And we need God's word. We need it. I'm not here to accuse you. I'm here to tell you he washed you. But the enemy's going to find those things. He's going to point them out. And the next thing you know, you're going to sit down. You're going to become ineffective because you are buying the lie of the enemy. This Bible that I hold in my hand says, yea, we are more than conquerors. You don't have just enough. Come on, musicians. The pastors tell a story about martyrs. He said these two guys are getting ready to be burned at the stake for their faith. One of them looked at the other. He said, man, I don't know that I can do it. He said, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can endure that pain. I don't know that I can do it. His buddy looked at him and said, I'll go first. He said, I'll go first. He said, because I really believe that God's enough. He said, when they light the fire, he said, if it's enough, he said, I'll hold up one finger through the flame so you could see that God is enough. Came time for him to lose his life. And his buddy's looking out the prison window and they tie him to the stake and they light the fire. He's burned alive for his faith. And he looks through the flames and he's wanting to see that one finger held up. And he said, he looked through the flame and he said he seen his hand coming up and he went. He held up two. He was letting him know he's not just enough, man. He's more than enough. I said he's not just enough. He's more than enough. Can I tell you this? Your God has washed you for a reason. Bring him a change of clothes. I know he's guilty. But somehow the enemy twists this to where God is out to get you. He's got a garment that he wants to put on you. And if you're in here right now and you're lost, get up and run to the altar. They don't need to hit a note if God's dealing with your heart. You've been taught for years that God was just this brutal dictator that wanted to hit you on the head every time you failed. I'm going to tell you, he's a loving father that has a change of clothes for you. There's proof, God. There's proof. Look at him. He's got dirt. I rebuke you, Satan. Shout about that all week. Imagine the fear in Joshua. I'm standing here before the holies. I'm the priest and I'm dirty. I deserve it. I shouldn't be here. And God looks past Joshua and says, Satan, I rebuke you because I chose Jerusalem. Let me tell you what God does. He cleanses what he chooses. He cleanses what he chooses. If God is choosing you, he wants to cleanse you. Why? Because he wants fellowship with you. Why? Because he loves you. Man, if you've not made the decision to surrender your life to Jesus, I want you to do it right now. Right now. Right now. It doesn't get any better than this. Dear, and he loved me so much, he washed me. When I get to heaven, Travis, I'm still going to be pleading the blood. How'd you get here? Well, I tell you. Started preaching when I was 17, gave my life to Jesus, preached all over. How'd you get here? The blood of Jesus. If he's calling you, stand up. Let's all stand. If you're already saved, would you take a moment and just worship for the fact of he changed your guilty garment? When the accuser came and cried out, "He's guilty, he's guilty, he's guilty." The blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel said, "Forgive him, forgive him, forgive him, forgive her, forgive her, forgive her, forgive her, forgive her. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony." Here's my testimony to the court. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. Would you worship him all over this building for just a few minutes for the